As you see, they're returning to the book of Obadiah. Right between the book of Amos and the book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. It's a very short book, only 21 verses. I'm just covering the first four tonight. As we saw last week, as we looked at Genesis 25, there's background here. It's the relationship between Jacob and Esau, and Esau is the father of the Edomites. We learn that again and again in Genesis 36. Esau is the father of the Edomites, and right in this first group of verses, we learn about how the Edomites view themselves in the world. They're surprisingly proud. And we learn what God has to say about that. This is the word of God. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. The precious word of the living and the true God. Obadiah has a very short introduction. It's called the vision of Obadiah. It's language that's used in some of the other prophets. It's the vision. It's that which the prophet sees. Obadiah obviously wrote it down. And it's important that we understand that this message, though it is targeting Edom, is actually designed for the people of God. You have the book of Jonah, where Jonah goes to Nineveh, and going to Nineveh is a lesson for the people of God. So it is with this prophecy of Obadiah. It is a lesson for the people of God. And Obadiah's name means servant of God. He is given a name that reminds us of the title that was given to Moses. The title that we saw again and again in the book of Joshua. That Joshua received at the end of the book of Joshua. Servant of Yahweh. Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Edom is in the Lord's sights. As we saw last time, Edom is already engaged in a kind of behavior that is offensive to the Lord. Not only is Esau, their great forefather, despised his birthright, not only has he tried to kill Jacob, but Edom actually denied passage for the people of God in Numbers 20. Passage through their land. He threatened to kill them. Edom is in this situation then in redemptive history as we move forward, as we're just about at the time when the Babylonians are going to swoop in and defeat the people of God. And Edom is involved in this. As we move forward through the prophecy of Obadiah, we'll find out that Edom, from their heights where they lived, was glowing when the people of God were defeated. They considered it to be funny. And they actually participated. As we move forward in the prophecy of Obadiah, we'll find the kinds of things that they did to the people of God. They actually sought them out and turned them over to the enemy. The Edomites. And so God is addressing the Edomites. He's addressing them at a time before they're being judged. And he addresses them in terms of their smallness. Now, what God is talking about is how they are politically insignificant. How they have an insignificant number of people. And they are actually small in a way that is connected with the word despised. He's talking about their their smallness in significance in comparison to the nations. God's action among the nations is going to be a punishment to Edom. But Edom doesn't see it that way. Edom, though Edom is small, Edom is actually up. Edom is lifted up and exalted. Why? It's because of where Edom lives. Edom lives in these places in the rock that are about 200 to 300 feet above the ground. Very difficult to get to. Very easy to defend. You can actually stand up there and only a couple of people can fight off hosts of soldiers because they only have a small passage and they can't get up to where you live. Edom considers themselves to be like eagles up there. Eagles, we're told in the book of Job, in chapter 39, nest on high rocks. Eagles are famous for their swiftness. They're famous for their lofty flights. They're powerful. The Bible tells us about these things. And Edom thought that they were eagles. That's who we are. We're eagles. Small and despised? No. We live in an impenetrable place. We live in a place where no one can touch us. And look at what they say. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? That's a statement of Edom. Who shall bring me down? I'm like an eagle. But Edom's pride did not stop there. Thinking of themselves as eagles. No, their pride lifted them up even further. Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. They actually began to think that they were as high as anybody. But the Tower of Babel was designed to reach heaven. I am very high. Edom was taking on the kind of mentality that characterized Lucifer, who we read about in Isaiah 14. Edom was exalting themselves in their pride to ridiculous heights. And Edom was going to face the living God. They forgot about something. They forgot that the living God is the one who designed their places in the rocks where they dwell. They forgot that the living God is the one who designed the eagle, designed the nest for the eagle. They forgot that the living God is the one who designed the stars. They forgot about their relationship to the living God. In comparing themselves to man, they swelled with pride. And yet they forgot about their relationship to the living God. Well, he has designed something for them. Edom is mentioned in many of the prophets. It's mentioned in Ezekiel 35. It's mentioned in Amos at the beginning. It's mentioned at the end. But one of the places where Edom is mentioned most strikingly, one of the places that stands out to us as we come across it, is Isaiah 63. As the statement is made that Edom is going to be judged by the living God. Listen to this. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemer is come. If Edom is small and insignificant among the nations, if Edom is despised among the nations, wait till they face the Lord Jesus Christ coming in judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not limited by the physical walking around on the earth that he demonstrated as the God-man. No, he's actually the one who created the eagles. He created the stars. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came to do his work, addressed the same type of attitude that Edom had as he addressed Capernaum in Matthew 11. Listen to this. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. There's the Lord Jesus, the great and mighty warrior who's able to take down Edom in its pride. The one who created the stars, higher than the stars. You might be exalted all the way up to the stars, but I create them. When God comes in judgment against human pride, he will destroy. They will be brought down. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us something completely different. Something that is the opposite of pride. This is what he says. Matthew 11, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This great and mighty warrior, the one who's going to defeat all of the proud enemies of God, comes as a meek one. Why? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ coming in this way? Isn't he the creator of the stars? Isn't he the one who made the eagle that flies in such a lofty way with the power and speed of an eagle? Isn't he the one who created those rocks that Edom finds to be so pride-inducing? Yes. Yes, he is. He is the one who created all those things. But God had said long ago that his great warrior, this one who was going to save his people, was to come, just kidding, was to come from right after the book of Jonah is the book of Micah. He is to come from a place that is despised, a place that is looked down upon, a place that is not recognized. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Little Bethlehem, barely recognized. Oh, if only Edom had recognized the importance of being small and despised among the nations. If they had only recognized how valuable that is as a way of addressing pride. You see, their pride deceived them. They were small. They were despised among the nations. But they were proud because of where they lived. They were proud because they thought they were in an impenetrable place. But they were not above the living God. He's able to take them out. Isaiah 63 speaks of his garments being stained with blood. He's able to judge them. Jesus expresses in one chapter the way that Capernaum will be dealt with and the way that babies will be, children will be led. Children who come to him in faith. this little place, Bethlehem, this out of the way place where you live, is a place where God is accomplishing the great work of dealing with pride. If you come to God through Jesus Christ, if you come to God through the one who changes you on the inside, you will have a relationship with Him and He will be able to lead you. But if you come to God in pride, if you say that my position, my status, my lot in life makes me superior to other people, the words of Jesus Christ are nowhere more appropriate than this. What He says in Matthew 23 concerning those who are proud. He says, Matthew 23, verse 11, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring about a great reversal. And one of the primary areas of reversal is human pride. Because pride, as we learn in Obadiah chapter 1, deceives. It makes us think that our position is greater than it really is. It's only through the work of Jesus Christ that we see things accurately, that we see that the Lord has provided for us the pathway up. And the pathway up is the pathway of surrender and humility through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will judge all human pride. He will judge all those who oppose Him. He will bring down all those who are exalted. But He is saving people by giving them the humility that they need to acknowledge that their pride has deceived them and they are in need of Him.